It's 5 minutes with me.
Hello, awesome user. Welcome to 5 minutes with Marco. Hope you're having a good drive or chill moment or whatever it is that you're doing at this particular second. This is the first of a two-parter where we're going to talk about materialism, particularly as it pertains to teenagers and how we should address it in our ministries. So let's dive in. I'm a little feeling vulnerable to acknowledge this first story, but I'm going to say it. So I have a friend who's on welfare and has been for years. He's brilliant and creative and funny. He's a fantastic writer, and he has dreams of getting published. As employment, he's waiting for that dream to come true. His wife had a minor injury at work a few years ago and went on disability, and now if she gets a job, the disability will get cut off. So they have absolutely no money. They have three teenage kids, all of whom, by the way, are fully capable of getting a job and helping the family, but don't. My friend's teenage kids, who have this, they have a great gaming system. They're all into gaming. They feel completely ripped off that they can't get the newest gaming system. And they lounge around the house complaining about how much it sucks that their parents can't get them the new system, while dozens of games for the fully functioning gaming system are already on their drive, right? Kind of sitting there like the land of forgotten toys. Now, here's why I'm uncomfortable with this. I think there are plenty of people who are on welfare who need assistance for really good reasons. And I don't want to fall prey to the stereotype that people who need help are just lazy. I don't believe that's true. I will say, though, in this case, there's a problem because everyone in this family are capable of finding work and just refuse to do so. Now, I'm wondering, though, why it bugs me so much. And there's a few reasons, but the reality is the whole thing bugs me because it exposes everyone's materialism. Certainly my friend's teenage kids, but also my friend and his wife, and yes, even mine. See, while I really enjoy this friend and I actually like hanging out with him, I've not yet had him over to my own home. If I'm honest, I have an unfair, unfounded concern that he'll only see me as a source for money or other stuff. I don't have that newest gaming system, but I have a lot of stuff. And the potential that my friend could view me as a potential lava flow of cash only exposes me. If I weren't materialistic and a champion level collector of new gadgetry, my friend's potential perspective wouldn't be an issue. Let's face it, most of us, to one extent or another, are materialistic. Trying to say that this generation of teenagers is so different, so much worse, I'm not sure I buy it. Most people in the U.S. at least have no real sense of limitations on spending. So what is different about today's teenagers and materialism? Well, first of all, they are materialistic. They want stuff. They have massive spending power, and Madison Avenue spends millions of dollars to open their pocketbooks of teenagers or their parents' pocketbooks. Teenagers are the biggest single influencers of a family's spending. This is overly simplistic, but here are a couple key factors in play. One, there have always been materialistic stuff-hoarding people, but materialism was never embraced as a cultural norm or something to be proud of until the 1980s. Connected to that reality, teenagers today embrace the materialism they see exhibited in their homes and in the world around them. They have lived with a heightened sense of materialism their entire lives. This is why one of the reasons we tend to notice the materialism of teenagers, especially for those of us who were teenagers prior to the 90s, for me, way prior to the 90s, there's a new embracing of stuff that wasn't present to the same degree when we were teenagers. Let's pretend for a moment that materialism is the actual root problem. I'm not denying that materialism is a major issue, a distraction from fully living in the kingdom of God, and that we'd be irresponsible as youth workers not to talk about this with our teenagers. It is, and it does, and it would be if we didn't. Did you follow that? Jesus spoke clearly about the love of stuff and how it erodes real life. That gadfly teaching of his about the guy with the perfect pearl is the annoying pea that distracts all of us under our princess-like pile of mattresses. If we believe that Jesus knew what he was talking about, we have to embrace the fact that the accumulation of stuff impedes teenagers' ability to live the fullness of life Jesus promises in John 10:10. Of course, the problem is our teenagers are soaking in a culture that constantly tells them that the accumulation of stuff is the fullness of life. So merely talking about the evils of materialism is like talking about the evils of water to a fish. It just doesn't compute. Our once-in-a-while diatribes about the love of money just come off sounding like antiquated sentimentalism for the good old days, or worse yet, like complete and utter hypocrisy. Think of it this way. Simply telling teenagers sex before marriage is bad doesn't do much to reframe their thinking about a message that is so counter to everything they hear and experience. To effectively talk about sexuality, we have to offer a counter story, a better story about goodness and ultimate fulfillment, not just condemnation and consequences. The same is true with materialism. Our teaching can't focus on the negative. We have to propose an alternate reality, a better reality, a more real reality of how living fully in the kingdom of God without a focus on getting more stuff is a better way to live. And not just better in its moral value, but better in its fruit. We have to show examples of passionate, highly fulfilled people who haven't found their meaning in possessing more. We have to teach about the revolutionary way of Jesus, the upside down realities of the kingdom that promise the greatest meaning and passion and purpose in life through serving others, through selling what we have and giving to the poor. Don't forget, all of this is highly abstract, and most teenagers are fairly limited in their ability to fully grasp abstract ideas. So we have to work hard to concretize these truths, talking about what it really looks like to live in an affluent culture and still embrace life-giving kingdom values. Of course, the best way to teach this is to live it out in front of your teenagers. That's part of the rub, isn't it? We're going to unpack that a little bit more in part two.
Youth Cartel Podcast Network.